Welcome to Falcons Drip, your go-to source for Falcons news and draft coverage. I'm Thon Ray, founder and voice of Falcons Drip.
Welcome back, everybody. It feels like it's been forever. Maybe it hasn't been that long, but it feels like it's been forever. You have so much information, you know, back to back to back. We recorded after each day of the NFL draft, so taking that weekish off, it just feels like a long time. But as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle. Kyle, we got a lot of stuff going on today, but what is going on with you?
Yeah, it's been a minute. We were planning on recording on, we're recording this on Monday night. We were planning on recording on Sunday night, but I'm glad we didn't end up recording on Sunday night because earlier today we got the news that Trey Flowers, after having like a workout with the Falcons in March, has signed with the Falcons.
And, you know, this really goes to show that almost no one is safe, right? Like, we feel like the probably the deepest part of our team besides defensive tackle may be in our cornerback room. And we just go ahead and add another guy. I feel like Flowers is coming in. You know, we talk about him being a matchup guy for tight ends, right? He's 6'3", 200 pounds, ran a 4.45 at the combine. You know, he gives us some serious physicality in the cornerback room. He might end up being like a corner slash hybrid safety coming in to match up against certain guys. I would not be shocked to see him count as one of the safeties if we were to only keep four guys, and maybe he's the fourth safety, or maybe he's a fifth safety, because, you know, we love that versatility and the different things that we can do.
I will say he's a big 6'3", 200 pound corner out of Oklahoma State. He was drafted to the Seahawks, where he became their number two corner, and he ended up getting roasted so bad that he ended up having to be traded out of Seattle because there was so much hate from the fan base that it was really just a toxic culture and there was no way he could stay there. Then he eventually ended up on the Bengals, and I think his perfect role with the Falcons would be like a number three corner and like this nickel slash safety. I think he's not as well suited to be an outside corner. I think he's more suited to be a guy who's covering tight ends, because he's not that guy who can cover those smaller, quicker receivers. Although he did run a 4.45 coming out of college, he's definitely better suited in the nickel. If I was going to put him anywhere, it's got to be to come in to the nickel or come in to help at safety.
Yeah, and I think kind of like we said, like I think he matches up well against tight ends. So we would when we see him, it'll probably be when we're playing a bigger nickel guys, and he'll be in there, you know, guarding tight ends, which I said like five times. So I'll just let that just let it sit there. But, you know, I think it kind of shows when you talk about the secondary that it's not going to be a one size fits all. You're not going to see, I truly think you'll see Jeff Okuda and AJ Terrell on the outsides every single play. And then it feels like our nickel job is going to rotate through. Mm-hmm. I really thought that Clark Phillips was going to end up being our nickel guy, but just the way, you know, signing Trey Flowers, and I loved the way D. Alford's looking. And plus you got Jalen Hawkins and Richie Grant kind of battling to be the number two safety behind Jesse Bates. So I think we'll see a mix of all of those guys I just mentioned in our secondary spot based on matchups.
Before we move on, I just want to say that this cornerback room is probably eight or nine guys deep, and he's a great player to bring in. And I really love how this cornerback room, especially the nickelback position, has guys with versatility. Like, he comes in to guard the big tight ends, and then you have like the Mike Hugheses, who are a little smaller, who are maybe suited better to guard like smaller, shiftier receivers. So I like the mix of big physical guys and slower big guys to guard the big guys that you can't guard with the small, quick guys.
I didn't even mention Mike Hughes. That's you know, this, like you said, it's really seven or eight people deep. Mm-hmm. And I want to point out too, Trey Flowers is also a big special teams guy. So I think I don't want to say he's a lock for the team, but if I was a gambler, gambling man and I had to pick a side, it would for sure be that he's on the roster by the time the season starts.
I think he's my cornerback four right now. He's like my cornerback four or five for the Falcons roster. That's where I like tentatively put him, but I have to go back and look at it more because this cornerback's so deep that it's going to be hard to project. But right now I have Cornell Armstrong on the outside looking in, which is something before this signing I wouldn't have said. I would have said, oh, Cornell's probably going to be my number six corner. And but now it's like he's out.
And I just wonder with just you saying that, I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm wondering how much Cornell Armstrong will be valued as just a backup outside corner, because a lot of the guys that we did mention, right? D. Alford, Trey Flowers, not so much Mike Hughes. I know Clark Phillips, they talk about as being slot only guys. So if you look at it that way, Cornell Armstrong's might be more valuable than it seems because of the ability. We know that this coaching staff, I guess it's a new coaching staff, but this regime has trusted him to play on the outside. And the guys we've mentioned that can play on the outside are AJ Terrell, Jeff Okuda, Darren Hall has played out there. Mm-hmm. And if they don't feel like Clark Phillips can, or Trey Flowers can, or D. Alford can, maybe that's an opportunity for a guy like Armstrong to push as a backup outside guy, depending on what these other guys can do.
100%.
I don't know. I think, like we talked about, Trey Flowers, I know you said he's your number four guy, but he's very different. These cornerbacks we have are all very, very different. And it'll be really interesting to see how we deploy them.
I think they've made it one of the deeper cornerback rooms in the NFL. I don't know if it's probably not the best cornerback room in the league. Cause the top end, you have a couple guys at the top end and then it kind of drops off dramatically after the AJ Terrell, to like a Jeff Okuda. I know Okuda's good, but, there's not like two crazy good corners locking down the outside, but you do have quality depth and guys you can trust to come in and out. I think we can agree Darren Hall is probably better suited to be a slot. But on this roster, he probably needs to be an outside corner if he's going to make the roster.
And it's, you're talking about like all of our guys, like it's literally all potential right now. You know, it's AJ Terrell, who was amazing 2 years ago, had a down year last year. Jeff Okuda, who was the number three overall pick for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. But he hasn't lived up to that. Mike Hughes was a first round pick who has been injured and hasn't lived up to expectations, but has all the talent there. Trey Flowers has shown flashes of brilliance in some areas, not in others. D. Alford seems like he's an up and coming guy. Darren Hall is a fourth round draft pick a couple of years ago, who's, you know, same thing, had some highs and had some lows, right? This cornerback class, if two of these guys live past expectations or live up to their full potential, we're talking about an elite secondary. And if they're all kind of what they've been, then like you said, it's deep, but it's nothing to write home about.
I do want to mention Falcons also signed, I think, a guy who played in the CFL, Jamal Peters. He's another cornerback in this room. I don't think he really has a chance of making it, but I think I saw someone on like Twitter, like a Falcons writer, say they were excited to see what he could do in minicamp and stuff.
I definitely want to
go back and look at some of the guys who are like the underrated guys that are on the outside looking in.
I really like Jamal Peters also. Because I remember seeing when they signed him, I went back and watched some of his stuff, and he's one of those guys when you watched him, he popped.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's like that for some guys, and maybe they can't do it in the NFL. Maybe there's too many guys in front of them, but it's all about finding the right scheme and fit. Like you saw Jeff Okuda, he was the number three pick. Seemed like he had all the talent in the world and he hasn't figured it out yet. It could be scheming. It could be just he's not as good as everybody thought he was.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. And it's young, a lot of young guys, a lot of young cornerbacks. You know, Casey Hayward was the old man, and he's gone now.
So. With that, you want to move on to the wide receiver that's coming home?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we'll move on to Penny Hart. And for those of you, I remember when we put this post out, I I saw the comments on the post, a lot of people saying, who is this guy? Who is this weird receiver that I've never heard of? Well, he's a guy who's signed by the Colts out of college, then immediately got waived, found a spot on the Seahawks, spent a year on the practice squad, and since then has bounced up and down from practice squad to being like their number five wide receiver and a special teams guy. I believe he's had like 11 catches, 82 yards. So he's had a little production as a wide receiver five, but he's mostly a special teamers, appearing in 39 games over 3 years. He's 5'8", 180. He didn't test well coming out of Georgia State, only running a 4.63, but he did, he was deceptively strong, putting up 18 bench press reps.
Yeah, and he feels like a guy to me who he plays faster than what his time shows. He's definitely like, you know, again, he played faster. It's like a speedy, fast, strong. Like he seems like a guy who can do a lot of things, but he's 5'8" and 180 pounds, which will limit him if he truly is running a 4.6. But he seems like he's pretty quick in and out of his breaks and has good acceleration and the whole stop start. But he'll come in, he'll compete to be the wide receiver five, most likely wide receiver six. He'll be fighting for the back end of the roster spot, and he'll have to do it on special teams.
Totally agree with you there. I was just going to say there's like three or four guys in that wide receiver five position. The three I'm looking at is Justin Marshall out of Buffalo, Penny Hart, Jared Bernhardt, the former lacrosse player. Then we're also looking at if you want to throw Frank Darby in there, who was drafted by the Falcons but hasn't really shown anything, has good energy, but he hasn't done anything on the field to show he was worth where they drafted him. So it'll be fun to see.
And Xavier Malone also I really like, who we'll get into him. He was the last of the Falcon signings for the UDFA. So we'll get into some of these guys a little bit. Why don't we jump into them now? Basically just kind of end the
Penny Hart discussion. Let's just jump into Xavier Malone since you're talking about him.
Perfect. Just to end the Penny Hart discussion, like we said, just going to be a fighting to make the roster would be a backup slot type of player, which I don't know. Again, I don't know how much this team values. So let's jump right in. Like you said, we'll jump right in to Xavier Malone. Another guy who was clearly the best player on the field every single time you watched him. He played at D2 at Henderson State. His RAS scores were kind of wild to look at because he scored a 6.32 but he was running a 4.36 with a 20-yard split of a 2.51 and a 1.53 for his 10-yard split. But he was so short. I mean, he's short. He's 5'7", 180 pounds, but did, you know, for that size, he did put up the bench 15 times with a 36.5-inch vertical and a 10.5 broad jump. So great athleticism, a little on the smaller side, and he also had a lower agility score with his 3-cone and his shuttle. But when you watch him, it feels like he scores a touchdown almost in every single play. Obviously he doesn't, but it feels like he does. And there are all these deep, deep bombs. And he shows how explosive he is and how hard he is to tackle, again, at the D2 level. But I really like Malone and watching him play.
Yeah, I totally agree. When watching his tape, his speed was off the charts. You could just tell how much faster and how much more athletic he was than everyone. He was blowing them out of the water. They couldn't keep up at all. But his size being 5'7", 182 is not a good thing. It kind of puts him at a disadvantage, and you're like, can this guy do it with that? I know that's Penny Hart level size. If Penny Hart can do it, there's a chance he could do it. But he's still young, so it's hard to say, oh yeah, he's definitely going to make the roster. But he's definitely a guy you got to look at and be like, I like those measurables or those speed stuff and all the athleticism traits he has. Obviously, you'd want him to be like 5'10", maybe 190 if you could have him and be a slot guy. But with his speed, maybe he can get a special teams role if he's able to beat out some of the guys we mentioned previously.
So, and I do want to talk about his, because we talked about how explosive he is and how he just really pops, and he dominated at the D2 level, which is what you want to see. He had 67 receptions for 1,382 yards and 15 receiving touchdowns. So that is 19.8 yards per reception. So every time he catches the ball, he's getting you essentially 20 yards. And that's a, he scores a touchdown on a 22% of his catches. So one out of five catches, he catches the ball, he's scoring a touchdown. Again, this is at the D2 level, but that's what you want to see when you're looking at a guy at this level. And then you want to sit there and say, okay, he went D2 because he's small, but everything else is there. And he kind of showed that. So it'll be really interesting. He's someone I'm definitely going to be, looking for and rooting for come camp. Also,
I
I'm
totally
excited to
agree with
watch
you
him.
there. With that, you want to let's go into another receiver that dominated his competition at the lower level. This guy's kind of interesting. He's kind of in that Penny Hart realm where he's supposed to be this speedy slot receiver, but he didn't run a good 40. He ran a 4.77 as a 6 foot 180-pound receiver. And that's Keelyhand Harris, and he's out of
Oklahoma Baptist.
so he's got two straight 1,000-yard seasons, and overall he's been a solid slot receiver. He looks speedy on tape, but who knows if that's just the competition dip. He's another guy that I think plays faster than his 40 actually was.
And I, another D2 guy, again, dominated, looked great when he was out there. I almost wonder watching him if they see him as more of like a running back, because it really seems like he looks faster than he is, but he also feels, it seems like he does a great job with the ball in his hands. His RAS score was a 1.28, which would be one of the lowest that I've seen, and especially playing at the D2 level, I get nervous. He ran a 4.68 40. I mean, it's one of those guys where, if you watched him play, you wouldn't think his score was that low. But when you see a score that low, it makes you take a step back and go, whoa, okay, what's
Yeah,
happening here?
100%. Overall, I think he's a camp body to practice squad guy. I don't think he's competing for a roster spot. Whereas if you talk about Xavier Malone, you're talking about a practice squad guy, to dark horse to make the back end of the roster.
Yeah, or a guy who, maybe he makes the practice squad and does eventually, after, talking about
Several weeks,
Malone,
get on the roster. Yeah.
gets maybe even not after several weeks, maybe after a couple of years, and he kind of adjusts to the game, the NFL game, and going from D2 to D1 is similar to going from D1 to the NFL. I mean, it's just they're two different levels. I think it's probably bigger going from D1 to the NFL than it is going to D2, but it's still two. It's still he's gonna have to make two jumps where everyone these other guys are gonna have to make one. Anyways, going back to Harris, I agree. I think he kind of feels like a camp body, and it feels like a guy who they're gonna say, okay, he looks great on tape. We like the way he looks on tape. He did score really poorly, but let's see what he's got. And he could prove everybody wrong. There are people who don't test well and end up doing really well. I mean, Jarvis Landry ran a
See the
4.7
combine numbers
also for
with
sure.
per Penny Hart we mentioned earlier, the 4.63, and now you see him on NFL rosters and looking better than expected, and now we're mentioning him as our probably competing for that final wide receiver spot. Do you have anything else on Harris, or you want to move on to the next guy?
No, I don't.
Do we
I think
stick
I
on
don't know if they're not.
receiver?
Yeah, I figure we might as well. We talked about Justin Marshall last podcast, but I feel like we might as well talk about him a little bit for the people who didn't listen to the last one.
I'll let you go ahead on that because I know you're big on him, the wide receiver out of Buffalo with a 4.4840. So I'll let you wax poetically about him.
I'm a big Justin Marshall fan, and he's very different from the rest of these guys we talked about. 6 foot 1, I believe, 6 foot, almost 6 foot 2, 210 pounds. He's got 38-inch vertical, like Kyle said, a 4.48 40, good 20-yard split, decent 10-yard split. And he really, you know, I really like watching him high point the ball and go up and really get it. He feels like a guy who's an outside receiver and a guy who would do well in our system because he's a great like jump ball guy, like deep go can go deep down the field and just go get it. I don't know, compared to everybody else, he feels like he would be the best fit for an outside guy. I know I said this, he'd be the best fit for an outside guy though. So he would be competing there for a spot versus some of these guys, are the last guys we mentioned are slot onlys.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing for me is I don't think he's ever played special teams before. And if he can't adjust or can't learn the special, like to play special teams, then he will definitely be a practice squad guy where some of these other guys we talked about that are special teams players that will come and they'll play on the team right away. And then maybe when he's ready, they'll bump them off.
If but he's going to make the favorite roster, he's either got to jump Cordero Hodge and become that wide receiver 3 or 4, or he's got to learn to play special teams.
I think he's going to have to learn to play special teams. I think with the amount of tight ends that we're going to keep and the amount of running backs that we're going to keep, I think we'll probably keep, I would not be shocked if we only got 5 wide receivers, which would kind of push more of these guys. And you know, Drake London's not playing special teams. So it's going to push some of these other guys to have to play though.
100%. So I feel it's the wide receiver 5 has to play special teams. That's why I've been saying in chats, and I'll say this again. I think if you're not familiar with Penny Hart, you should get familiar with him, because he's a good special teamer, and he's in the mix for this 5 wide receiver spot. And I also, you mentioned Justin Marshall's jumping. So I got the numbers pulled up right here. He's got a 38-inch vert and a 10.6 broad. So I just wanted to mention his jumping ability, since you were mentioning his, how good he is at high-pointing the ball, which is really exciting because we need those big wide receivers who can go up, and that's what the Falcons like. They like jump ball guys mixed with a good running game.
Yeah, and I can't stress enough like just his ability to high point the ball and get it. That's just not like, honestly, the besides Drake London and besides Mac Hollins, we don't really have a guy like that besides him. So he adds something that other backup receivers don't really have, which is good. I mean, gives him a good shot of making the team at least. He was one of my favorite guys, and I would have loved for us to draft him in the 7th round. So for me, it's like he feels like a no-brainer practice squad guy pushing for the back end of the roster.
100%. I agree with that. And if you're getting an undrafted free agent, you're just expecting them to be a decent camp body who's either going to push to make the practice squad at the very least, or maybe push this back into the roster at like the very top end, which is exactly what he's doing. He's most likely a practice squad guy pushing for a roster spot.
Mm-hmm. Should we move on to Carlos Washington Jr.?
Oh, okay. So we're going to the Algier clone. I was looking early in this morning and I was talking, we were talking about it. So I saw the 40 time and it's a 4.6. And then I was like, what are Algier's numbers? And I look at the numbers, and the only difference I really saw was Carlos Washington is 17 pounds lighter. There is a bit of difference, like Carlos Washington jumped 34 inches. Algier jumped 33, but overall they're pretty similar. Like
yeah,
the running
scary
styles, the fact that they're not burners and they're not going to go for like 80-yard touchdowns. They might break off a 20-yard run every now and again, but they're mostly power guys. Yes. Like a lesser Algier from what I can see.
It's funny because I when you once you pointed that out, I was like, wow, you're dead on, because he really is. Like, the notes I have from watching him is just like, he has great short area quickness, good contact balance, runs hard, and that's like the biggest thing. And with Caleb Huntley going down with an Achilles, I think that Carlos Washington Jr. has a decent chance again of maybe not being on the roster because of the depth we have at running back, but I could definitely see him being a practice squad guy. I mean, I would almost, I don't want to say he's a lock, but he's the closest thing to a lock besides Justin Marshall, I think.
For sure. I think he's just outside. I think they take five running backs when you include the fullback, and he's the next one behind there. But when I was watching his tape, he wasn't a very quick guy, but he did resemble some of Algier. He wasn't this guy who's gonna go for like 80-yard runs, as I said. He could maybe pound out like multiple 5-yard runs in a row and just have pretty good vision, and just slowly grind the defense down and wear them out as the game goes on.
Yeah, big fan of his. I you know, it's funny because some of these guys I knew coming that we signed, and a lot of them I didn't. I would say most of the time that doesn't happen. I usually have a couple of guys that I most of these guys, most of these guys, I'm like, whoa, I know him. I had no clue who Carlos Washington Jr. was, and I wish I had, because I really like his game.
Yeah, and I can see why the Falcons take him, especially after seeing what Algier did in year one.
For sure.
So with that, you want to move on to one guy who graded out crazy in the RSA, and that's
Jump into the Rice defensive end, Ekachukwu. And I think that I'm not going to say his first name because I've been butchering it. We've actually been sitting here butchering his last name, and we're really sorry. That's not our strong suit, but he scored really well with his RAS scores.
Yeah, I'll mention we've been butchering it for like 3 or 4 minutes before we eventually hopefully we got it right. So we'll see. We're gonna keep this in just for goofiness. We're obviously gonna take out the mistakes, but overall, let's go over the RSA scores and talk about him instead of butchering his name like we've been doing recently. So I'll bring up his RSA. He tested really well, and he was also a Shrine Bowl participant. The Rice defensive end had a 4.740. He's 6'4". He's 284 pounds. He
64. He's
264,
264.
my bad. 31-inch
I'm good.
vert, 23 bench press reps, 10-foot broad. So overall, he's got some athleticism to him.
And he, you know, his agility score again was poor, like a 2.5 for both of them running. His short shuttle was a 4.6, and his three cone was a 7.5. We're just looking at his RAS. I wonder if they're gonna ask him to bulk up and play kind of like a Cam Jordan type player and move to the inside. Because those numbers athletically, you know, even if they dip down a little bit and he plays as an interior, not like a true edge, like as a true defensive end, if that makes any sense. Like, he's not gonna be an outside linebacker, but he'll play a defensive end that maybe can bump in and out outside, kind of like Calais Campbell. Obviously not Calais Campbell, not as long, but something similar to that kind of role.
I definitely would love that role for him. I think he's got the straight line speed as well as the power, as you see with if you look at the bench press reps plus the speed. He would be perfect for bull rushing like this center or over the guard. So I love the idea of moving him inside and maybe having him gain 20 or 30 pounds, maybe more.
Yeah, I think, you know, because Cam Jordan plays at what, 285, 284, something like that.
I think I saw 300 online. Or you said Cam Jordan. I was thinking Calais Campbell.
Yeah.
He might be
Oh, yeah. Calais Campbell is
285,
310.
290, something like that. Do you want me to look it up?
287. Cam Jordan's 287.
Okay, so you were
So
spot on.
that's exactly what it would be. Yeah.
I wasn't sure right off. I knew he was big. not as big as like a Jalen Carter or anything like that. But a big
yeah,
boy
yeah.
for sure.
Really quickly though, before we move on, when comparing like the RAS scores, Cam Jordan, you know, vertical 31.
So he was slightly
Rice
above.
Defensive end. Ekachukwu, his was a 31.5.
Yeah, slightly above. What about for
broad
Brent
jump?
I know he had 23.
And Cam had 25. Yeah, Cam had a 4.76. He had a 4.7. Again, Cam was 287 pounds, so he's 20 pounds lighter. But I think they're probably, like we said, looking at him and saying, hey, he's very similar to Cam Jordan. Let's see if he can put some weight on.
100%. I think this is a perfect place for him to be. And I think that's probably what Nielsen and the coaches saw. Nielsen obviously coached Cam Jordan some. So it's a perfect fit to have him under a coach that he, Cam Jordan succeeded under, seeing as he's looks to be a similar player.
So our last guy that we're going to jump into, because we only had six UDFAs because our roster was so full. Our last guy was Mike Jones Jr. out of LSU, was previously at Clemson before that. Looked like he was a good athlete, a coverage specialist. He definitely has played special teams and things like that. And we thought people thought he was going to be the next big linebacker at LSU, and it just didn't really pan out.
Yeah, 100%. He has horrible athletic scores, most of them being average to below average. But during his time in college, at times it seemed like he could be this star linebacker and was going to be the next big linebacker coming out, but he never ended up panning out. And he showed flashes, but he didn't consistently do it. So it'll be interesting to see if Falcons can somehow get him turned around.
And I almost feel like after looking at his RAS score and looking at his combine and his, you know, just his numbers, right? I almost wonder if he's the biggest competition for Helms.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wonder if he's the biggest competition for Helms, as like the big safety. Because I don't know, but I wonder if you were to take his numbers and convert them to, I mean, obviously he'd be a lot slower, but he wouldn't be as small if he was a safety instead of a linebacker.
Yeah,
so that's
but
just something
point
I'm thinking.
Two on the 40, point two slower is crazy. You got Helms running a 4.56. And
yeah,
him running a 4.75, I think that's too slow to put at safety. I think if he's going to be a player, it's going to have to be at linebacker, because he's way too slow to play safety at this point. And unless he just performed bad at the combine, like, as we mentioned, Harris or a Penny Hart, he's way too slow to move back as a DB, in my opinion.
And I mean, that's kind of what I think. Like, he would never be, and similar to Helms, right? Like, I don't want Helms covering the deep middle by himself. Same thing with Mike Jones Jr. I would not want him doing that. But maybe if he's a, you know, a box, you know, coverage linebacker type player, maybe him and Helms are competing for that kind of role.
I could 100% see that, because you need some guy to be like that good blitzer off the edge, and maybe that's what they specialize in. And I think that's a job that Helms and him could compete for.
I think he would lose. I like Helms a lot more than I like Mike Jones Jr. at this point. But maybe, you know, like we said, he seemed like he was going to be the next big thing. Never really panned out. Has poor testing numbers. Who knows? We're just going to take a shot and kind of see what happens, and maybe he produces. You know, Olamide Zaccheaus, his numbers are horrible coming out. So you just never know. You can't put so much, and this I'm half speaking to myself because I do this big time, because I'm always like, I'm with the height, weight, speed guys, but you can't always put that much. You can't put that much into it. Like, some players can just play, and you got to get them in the building and just see what they can do. And I think that's what Mike Jones Jr. is. And let's just kind of take a look. I think he will be competing to be on the practice squad.
And I think that's what the Falcons see. They wouldn't have brought him in if they didn't see that. And I also want to mention, even though you said Helms is probably a better player, it wouldn't be surprising if someone like a Mike Jones beats someone out, because there's always some of these things that happen where a surprising guy beats out someone that you think is going to make the roster. I'll point to an example from last year, Dorian Etheridge. Everyone thought was going to get like the final roster spot at linebacker. It ended up going to Matt Landman. So that was surprising.
I was a big Landman fan. I think they're similar. They're two different players, right? Mm-hmm. For Landman, we didn't have Landman add something that, you know, none of our other linebackers did. And that's that bit. He was a big thumper in the middle. And I don't know if Mike Jones Jr. has that, right? Like, we kind of talked about Trey Flowers and Trey Flowers adding something that's unique to our cornerback room. And I don't know if Mike, I don't know if Mike Jones does that. And looking at, and you know, that's kind of when we talk about all of these other guys, like Xavier Malone adds a speed that really only Scotty Miller has. And I guess our fourth wide receiver, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Cordell Hodge also has that speed, I guess, too. But, you know, 4.3.
Not as much as those dudes. Not as much as he's kind of like in the middle of like a Drake London. I think he's closer to like a Drake London speed wise.
The fourth. Yeah. But the Malone's 4.3 speed, like that's no joke. Mm-hmm. We talk about Justin Marshall being different than the other guys. Carlos Washington is just in a position that he kind of needs to be. He
needs an injury to happen.
Yeah, he could be truly, and I don't think he will, but he could be horrible. And we just don't have any other running backs on the team right now. I think if he was that bad, we would add one. But he's, you know, there's a position for him to be there. And I just kind of feel like with Mike Jones, I don't know. I see it. He would have to do something. He would have to really stand out in camp, or he'd have to provide some sort of quality that somebody that we don't really have much of. And I don't know. I don't know. I just don't see it. I would say for me, besides Harris, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma Baptist, I would say Mike Jones is probably my least favorite of these six guys.
I totally agree. And my most favorite is probably like, it's either got to be like a Carlos Washington or a Justin Marshall. Carlos Washington was one of those guys I didn't think I'd be a fan of. But after seeing the characteristics that show that he's similar to like an Algier, he's one of the guys I'm most excited for, not because he's a better player than like Akinna Nchuku, or who's the other dude, Xavier Malone. He might be a worse player than both of those guys, but he's one of the most interesting because he's got similar traits to one of the best rookie running backs last year. So it's very interesting to see if that transfers over or if it takes a while, just because he's a little less developed than him.
Yeah. And you know, just to kind of recap this UDFA class, just start with Nchuku. He kind of feels like a guy who's probably a practice squad guy who will have potential to compete in future years, maybe kind of getting his body right, depending on what the Falcons want to see him do. Harris kind of feels like he's going to be competing for a practice squad spot, but I think you and I are both kind of out on him. Mike Jones.
Yeah, I'm out.
Mike Jones, same thing, feels like fighting for a practice squad spot, but you know, he'll need to really show up. Both of us probably don't feel like he's going to make the team. I really like Xavier Malone. I very much could see him being a practice squad guy until he gets it all figured out. So I'll just leave it at that. I would not be shocked. Again, he's one of these guys, if he was on the team at the end of the year, wouldn't be that shocked. But I definitely see him as a practice squad guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked either, but with how with that he's a rookie and that he's so small, I'd say he's a practice squad guy. But like I said, there's guys like Penny Hart who've set that precedent with that similar size. So it's not unknown or something that's never happened for a guy of that type of size to make an NFL roster.
It's just the speed. It's the speed for me that makes a difference. And that's what I think separates him. You know, we talk about that. Just talk about the separation. I think that's what it is that separates from everything else. Mm-hmm. And then going into Justin Marshall, the literal exact same thing that we just said about Xavier Malone. I think Justin Marshall is actually probably competing for the wide receiver five. I think he's right. For me, he's right in there in that competition, fighting for wide receiver five, and could end up being, you know, a top one, even a top four guy by the time the year's over.
Okay, now that you're mentioning him, I want you to say who's your wide receiver five at this point. If you had to say right now, this is my wide receiver number five, with no preseason ball, no nothing. We're just going straight into the season, and this is who I got right now.
I think I want to give it to Frank Darby. And I think that's my heart more than my brain. Like, I love what Frank Darby does as a player. I love what he does for this roster. I love what he did in college. I haven't seen enough to know that that's what he's going to be. I think that when they drafted him, there was a plan. And I think that it was going to take him a couple more years than, you know, I think it was going to take him a couple of years to kind of get going. So I would right now say that Frank Darby is my wide receiver five. My one and two being Drake London, Matt Collins, my two and three being, my one and two being London and Hollins, my three and four being Miller and Hodge, and Darby right now is my five with Bernhardt right on him. And then obviously we don't know about Xavier Malone or Justin Marshall, but those would be the next guys, I think, kind of competing
for
that
me,
wide receiver.
I'm a little different in that realm. I have the same top four, but I differ from most people here where I say Penny Hart. I'm a big believer in Penny Hart, and I've been telling people, especially when people were doubting and like, who are they bringing in? Who's this random wide receiver, practice squad type guy, camp body? I saw a whole lot of negativity around his signing and a whole lot of people being like, this is a dumb signing. Why are we even signing him? Why are we wasting our time? But his special teams experience just makes me give him the edge at this point.
Yeah, and I'm all for, you know, I forgot to mention him. Obviously, he's in that competing for the wide receivers five spot, right? They wouldn't bring him in if they didn't think he could do it. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously 100%. There. And like you said, the special teams, and I think, you know, Frank Darby was starting to play some special teams at the end of last year, and I think he's going to have to take a step up in every single area. He's going to have to step up in blocking and route running and catching in his special teams prowess. Like, he's going to need to step up everywhere. And I think he can. I think he's got a great attitude. I think he works really hard. And so, like, that's why I'm going to give him the slight edge. But I totally, you know, if Penny Hart was our wide receiver five going into week one, I would not be shocked. And that's kind of how I feel about all these guys I just mentioned at the end.
Yeah, there's four guys. With Darby, Marshall, Penny Hart, Bernhardt. Those are the four guys everyone should be keying in on and being like, okay, let's focus on these guys, and that's probably going to be our wide receiver five. One of those guys. The rest of those guys are probably on the practice squad.
And I think the reason why we're harping on five so much is because I think you agree that we were probably only going to keep five wide receivers going in just based on our love of the run game, our love of tight ends, and our love of Keith Smith. So you factor all that in.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Would you be surprised if they kept Felipe Franks on the active roster?
I honestly wouldn't. No, I would not either. I think
I kind of think about projecting him. on the roster just because he's an emergency quarterback. So he basically fills two positions. And I think he just goes
and he plays all special teams. And he plays all special teams. Like, I would not be, I wouldn't be surprised if we kept five tight ends, truthfully. Like Kyle Pitts, Jonnu Smith, Parker Hesse, Felipe Franks, and, you know, maybe a Fitzpatrick or somebody else.
If we keep five tight ends, I'm kind of mad because I don't think there's enough quality there to be like, okay, we definitely have to keep five. Because I think you can put some of these guys on the practice squad and be like, okay, they're going to be there if there's an injury.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's a good point. I just think that, you know, I think that you add Kyle Pitts has got and Jonnu Smith have so much versatility as wide receivers. Parker Hesse can also play fullback. Felipe Franks, you're talking about, you know, talking about his ability to play all these different things. And Fitzpatrick could play. I don't know. We'll have to see more of him, but he's so big. He's so long. So we'll just have to see. It wouldn't surprise me to have five tight ends. And it also wouldn't surprise me if we had four and Felipe Franks was the fourth.
Yeah, we should probably start wrapping this up, but I honestly love what we have. And I think this is the most interesting the Falcons have been since 2016, based off how good they're going to be. I think they're a playoff team, no doubt. And I think
I'm excited for us to do our roster projections. We'll do those when the year comes closer.
Yeah, I printed out a roster, and I'm going to start marking some stuff and trying to figure out what my 53 is. Maybe tonight I'm going to work on some editing and I'm going to work on some more roster projections. So hopefully I don't go insane.
And I think for you guys who, I think you will go insane. And I think for you guys who are still listening, for you guys who are still listening and made it this far, I think on Saturday, not sure when, I think we're going to do a live podcast on, Twitter space for you guys to listen to. I don't think we'll probably just have us two talking, and anyone who wants to listen, great. And if not, no problem. We'll be releasing it the next week. So with that, we kind of went over the signings. We went over the UDFAs. We talked a little bit about our roster and how we kind of see it panning out. And with that, we will catch you guys next time.
Again, this is Thon Ray. You guys can follow us at Falcons_Drip on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Please make sure you subscribe, follow, whatever you need to do to get the alert for our next episode. If you guys enjoyed today, please leave us a review. It always helps us grow. Until then, see you next time. Rise up.